Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk Live. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We have a great show in store for you. Oh, yes. We are going to be talking about diabetes without drugs, diabetics, no drugs. And if we get more time, we're going to be talking about the truth about pap smears for us women out there and the cervical cancer scare. And if we get time, we may fit in some herbs that we could use to help us feel less depressed, less stressed, and to deal with some inflammation and pain. So we got lots to talk about, and we do have a crack report. But before we get to that, a big salute and Semper Fi, always to our military, looking out for them in prayer every day, asking God to look out for them. And while you're hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face, you know, jump in that word of God. God does wonderful things when you speak his word to him. Doesn't come back void. And if you're looking for something to pray for all of America, I can recommend 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where he says, you know, if the people humble themselves and they pray and they seek my face and they cease from sin, I will hear from heaven, forgive them, and heal their land. And I don't know about you, but I know America needs a lot of healing right about now. We got to be one nation under God again. So pray that the righteous men and women with strength and steadfastness and boldness stand up and we fight this evil that we have right now. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Hey, Frank. Hey, vaccines are in the quacker today. They say a lot of the vaccines contain, if not all of them, contain polysorbate 80, which they say causes anaphylactic shock. You know how people are that have that sensitive to that food preservatives. You know, they can't have, you know, certain foods like salad bars were always being sprayed with that stuff, and people would, you know, their throat would swell up. Well, anaphylactic shock, long list of disastrous effects, can be added to the vaccine list, basically, side effects from vaccines. A recent article identifies the potentially fatal allergen reaction as a sequence to polysorbate 80. It's a chemical that you find in a lot of foods, but now also in your vaccines, including the flu vaccine and the HPV vaccine. German researchers have identified the polysorbate 80 as a cause of anaphylactic shock reactions in patients, and this agent can suppress your immune system, cause severe allergic reaction, and can kill you. You know, when you read stuff like this, you know, what comes to your head? Sudden infant death syndrome, right? Of course, according to the Internal Medical Council on Vaccinations, diseases that have documented associations with vaccines also include autism, cancer, of course, the sudden infant death, and many neurological and autoimmune diseases, just to name a few. Now, the Internal Medical Council on Vaccines cites that those vaccinated have 120% more asthma, 146% more autism, and 317% more ADHD than the unvaccinated counterparts. Now, with such toxic ingredients like polysorbate 80, you know, is it any wonder that the researchers are finding links that vaccines are skyrocketing the disease rate? Well, yeah. You know, if you listen to the show and you've heard Dr. Carly on here, you know, she agrees with all that. And so moving along in the crack report, you know, I wouldn't buy any food with polysorbate 80 in it. Why would I allow anybody to inject it into my bloodstream? Ugh. Okay, moving on. What they're not going to admit to you about measles, here's another thing about vaccines. With measles outbreaks, they say the children who catch the measles and are part of the outbreak are the ones that were vaccinated with the measles vaccine. According to official public health documents that are kept from the public's attention, many that are stricken with measles have had the full array of the three MMR shots, measles, mumps, rubella. So I just find that a stunning statistic. Now, in 1984, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report, it's of the CDC, they reported late 1983 and early 1994, in Illinois, there was a high school and a junior high that had this measles outbreak. The total student population, about 400, all of them, 100% of the kids, had measles, and they all had completed, complied, succumbed to the Illinois state law requiring them to have the MMR vaccines, all of them. But yet, they got the measles, 100% of them. What else we got in the quack report tonight? 97% of hospital superbugs, they say, can be killed with copper. Wow. Yeah, antibiotics have pretty much spawned the antibiotic-resistant pathogens that we have, like the MRSA, the staph infection, and it's becoming an epidemic in hospitals especially. The antibiotic-resistant microbes pretty much generated in hospital environments. Doctors and hospital administrators are forced now to look at copper and even silver to effectively minimize antibiotic-resistant strains of these pathogens. And the bacterial soaps, they're adding to the antibacterial resistant microbes. That's not helping. And silver and copper have been known to have some antimicrobial properties for hundreds of years. Silver especially, it goes after the pathogenic microbes, but it leaves the good healthy bacteria alone. The FDA declared it was illegal to promote antibacterial properties on colloidal silver products. Of course, Big Pharma can't patent the process of silver. There's no money to be made from exploiting. They're too busy exploiting us. So there's no money to be made from silver, so they're going to try to stop us from using it. Some hospitals are, though, coating their catheters with silver and using colloidal silver bandages, especially in the burn units, to keep infection down. Hospitals are also currently are interested in more metal that reduces infections in hospitals, and that's copper. So don't you remember the old-timey buildings? They used to have the copper doorknobs and tabletops and all that hardware, and that was there for reason. Copper is meant to eliminate germs or the spread of germs through physical contact. So doctors, healthcare workers, patients, visitors all commonly touch these surfaces, and they transmit the bacteria up to 97%. So if they redesign and remanufactured a lot of the fittings, the bed railings, the doorknobs, the door panels, electrical switches, tabletops with copper, and installed that in hospitals, they can cut down on the, you know, transmitting of those bacterias. Moving along in the Quack Report, what else we got? Medical science may use genetically modified pigs to grow human replacement organs. Oh, doesn't that sound lovely? A recent medical science development in Japan is leading the way to use animals for creating organs to be transplanted into humans. And it's, you know, pretty much hailed as a solution to those who are on that long organ transplant list. But you know what? This isn't normal. This is just creepy. The medical research team in Japan has revealed that they have made scientific, have a process down to make human organs by injecting human stem cells into animal embryos. Pigs can generate human blood now. So I guess, you know, if you're in Japan and you get in a car accident and need a blood transfusion, I wonder what the blood is from. Of course, they're going to say it's human, but, you know, it's just creepy. You know, mice with human ears on their backs and stuff like that. It's weird. Last but not least in the Quack Report, you know that vitamin water all the teenagers kind of, you know, were drinking, loved it. Well, a new food investigation and a video says that vitamin water is a deception. A nonprofit, a consumer wellness center, has taken on some research to the makers of the vitamin water, Coca-Cola, misleading marketing, and there's a video on YouTube that is also narrated by Mike Adams, the health ranger. And basically, you can check that out at YouTube. Vitamin water, mostly just sugar water. The vitamins that they use in the product are really synthetic chemicals. Coca-Cola altered the serving size on the beverage, making the sugar content appear as less. Coca-Cola's own attorneys publicly admitted vitamin water is not a healthy beverage. And why one health group calls vitamin water a non-carbonated soda contributes to weight gain, diabetes, obesity, and other diseases. You'll find that out in the video. Also, the fruit flavor in the various vitamin waters is not really actual fruit. And they use a cheap synthetic form of vitamin B12 that contains cyanide molecules. And basically, it's been pasteurized. So, you know, what else could they do to it? Nuke it? Well, you know, I guess just send it over to Japan and that take care of that. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Magical Engineer Frank. Yeah, I don't mean to make a light or glib of the situation in Japan, but, you know, it's just incredible what's happening in our world. I mean, there's toxics everywhere. Toxins that we have to be more vigilant than ever before to stay healthy and take care of ourselves. Well, let's try one step at a time. Let's deal with some diabetics tonight. We've talked about diabetes here on the show before, but we have some new information, some new research that's come out. Not really new, but it's been there, but it's just now filtering out into the medical community. Somehow it was not really a big deal when they first discovered it, but, you know, duh, it is. Let's talk about it. We have nearly 18 million Americans, children and adults, that have been diagnosed with diabetes. And the medical experts estimate that there are nearly 6 million people undiagnosed with diabetes and an astounding 57 million on their way to being diabetics. Now, every year, 1.6 million people get the bad news. They are diagnosed as a diabetic. And it won't be long before about 10% of Americans have an official diagnosis that they're all diabetics. Now, if you are diagnosed with diabetes, you are basically put on a lifelong run of diabetic medicine, blood sugar monitors, glucose test strips, and possibly teaching yourself how to use a syringe. So medical treatment will cost you, for diabetes, about $10,000 a year for the rest of your life. Therefore, diabetes is a gold mine for the medical establishment, and curing diabetes is not the goal. It's, you know, manage it. So let's ask why so many people have blood sugar problems. Never wonder why that is. When I was growing up, you didn't hear about it so much, but now you hear about it all the time. Is there a way to correct the imbalance? Well, let's look at it. Let's find out. There is some new interesting research. A couple of medical doctors, Dr. Doug Kaufman and Dr. David Holland, they produced some interesting research and published their findings in a book called Infectious Diabetes. Now, they seek to answer this question. What if diabetes is not a genetic problem, but a fungal infection? Now, they claim that there is a connection between fungal toxins called mycotoxins and the diabetes epidemic. They also state that these fungal toxins can also create cancer, create hormonal and immune system imbalance, and also damage organs. So how do we get these mycotoxins? Well, research published in 1986 reported on children developing diabetes within 2 to 4 weeks after receiving the mumps vaccination. More cases were reported in 1990, just 30 days after the vaccination, and by 1991, type 2 diabetes was reported by scientists within 5 months of receiving a mumps vaccine. In 1992, European physicians, 180 of them, were also confirming that the mumps vaccine triggers diabetes. More scientific evidence that the vaccinations were most likely the cause was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and the U.S. government, to this day, receives overwhelming reports of diabetes cases following the MMR vaccine. Now, today, researchers are saying that the HIV vaccine is also linked to the new diabetic epidemic. So what's going on here? You know, there was a landmark study in the British Medical Journal, October of 1999, and it indicated that these vaccines were responsible for unprecedented 26% increase in diabetes from all vaccinated patients. Now, it has been suggested that the pathogen being used to create diabetes is often put into different vaccines to cloud detection. Now, a lot of statistical information matching these correlations can be seen in Neil Miller's book called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? I don't know. It's creepy to think, you know, but I guess it could be. Well, let's look at the diabetic medicines. The human body has a job. That's right. Our organs know what job they have to do and how to perform it. So diabetic medicines actually focus on controlling insulin and glucose levels and actually take over the job of those organs. Eventually, the organ which is not permitted to perform its task will eventually atrophy, and then reviving the organ may be lost. There's an imbalance. It's not to shut down the organ, it's to restore balance. That's how natural approaches work. So basically, you're in control. The insulin basically is secreted by the pancreas in response to the foods you're eating, the grains, the fruits, the starchy vegetables, the candy, whatever. So if you eat frequent and large amounts of carbohydrate foods, especially foods containing refined sugar, the results are high insulin levels in the blood, and your cells do not respond to insulin, and the sugar remains in the blood, and then the pancreas has to produce more insulin. And this causes a hormonal imbalance, which damages the metabolism. And you can control the secretion of insulin by changing the foods you eat. And over time, the metabolism rebalances. If dietary changes are not made, the pancreas will wear out and not produce sufficient insulin. So those currently taking insulin should not discontinue their medication abruptly, but do a gradual 30-day or longer weaning after you implement a healthier lifestyle. Remember, the dietary food pyramid encourages large amounts of carbos, and this is not a good model. The American Dietary Association restricts all healthy fats, but healthy omega-3 fats are essential to help balance hormones and restore the metabolism. Dr. Diana Schwarzenbin, she's an endocrinologist, and she's also the author of Schwarzenbin Principle. She encourages diabetics to use diet to heal the metabolism using non-starchy vegetables, proteins, healthy fats, and controlling portions of carbohydrates from whole unrefined sources. So you can pick up her book and read more about that. But if you need a little help, if you want a little extra help in dealing with the diabetes, you will have to go to the high desert for some juniper monosperna. It's a tree. There are 13 junipers native to North America. This is a juniper. It's an herb. It's a tree. It's a shrub. The juniper monosperna tree is an evergreen from the cypress family, and it produces cones with one and sometimes two seeds inside. And it is found throughout New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Oklahoma. Now, the name monosperna means one seed, and it prefers to grow in elevations of 3,000 to 7,000 feet with strong roots for rocky soil, making it a drought-resistant tree. It produces several trunks, making it a short tree less than 20 feet tall. The cones are a pinkish-purple color, and the berry seeds inside are harvested in the fall. The Native American Indians have used juniper for medicine and cooking. The Navajo Indians especially use juniper tea to strengthen women after childbirth. They use the seeds and grind them and add it to cornmeal for flavoring. Juniper leaf was used to make lye water to turn cornmeal into hominy grits. And juniper contains various vitamins, minerals, and oils, and was an excellent flavor to add to venison and fish when salt was not available. Now, basically, as many of these endocrinologists would tell you, nutritional balance is going to be important to helping the system balance. So the USDA database has a chemical analysis of juniper monosperna, also known as the cedar berry. Now, this tiny berry contains flavonoids, glycosides, and a podophyllotoxin, which is an anti-tumor agent, and vitamin C, volatile oils, resins, sugar, sorbinol, sulfur, tannins, terpenine, flavone, campanine, minerals, and alcohol. So this is a drought-resistant tree with a strong root system, and it will pull the minerals from the soil and water. And in there is an essential trace mineral called vanadium. And vanadium is basically a mineral for normal cell function for the metabolism. Now, this nutrient helps to maintain the sugar levels in the blood and controls insulin levels. In 1995, research was published in the Journal of Endocrinology and Metabolism, which stated how vanadium helps with diabetic conditions. The scientists also believe this mineral helps to prevent heart attacks by slowing the progression of cholesterol plaque. This mineral has also been linked to improving bone health. Trace amounts of your vanadium are found in whole grains and vegetables like your carrots, cabbage, and parsley. However, we only absorb about 5% from these food sources. So how does this trace mineral help with diabetics? Well, according to the study, it mimics the activity of insulin and promotes the transport of blood glucose into the cells for energy as an energy source, and also assists in balancing hormones and the metabolism. The research went on to say that this mineral could also assist those with insulin resistance associated with obesity and can prevent excessive carbohydrates from being stored as fat. Research has also suggested that taking high doses can cause depression. And the FDA has recommended the amount of vanadium in 10 to 15 milligrams per day, but the average diet will offer 20 milligrams a day, but we're only going to absorb 5% of that. So diabetics, they're going to typically require 50 to 100 milligrams a day. Of course, use caution with any supplement if taking a prescribed diabetic medication. Do your homework, do your research first. So based on ancient knowledge and modern research, there are natural ways to deal with diabetes. The ancients used diet, and they used herbs like fenugreek, which is an excellent herb to have on hand, either to be used by itself or with other herbs for improved action. And in some people with diabetes, fenugreek seems to help them regulate their blood sugar, while in others, they respond better to the mineral nutrition in the juniper monosperma berry. Apothecary Herbs actually has both herbal formulas. You can ask for the diabetic F formula for the fenugreek, or just the regular diabetic formula, which contains the juniper monosperma berry. Now, if you want to use fenugreek or juniper berries to help with cholesterol, you can combine it with other herbs designed to strengthen the cardiovascular system. You can look for their heart cholesterol blood pressure formula as well at Apothecary Herbs. They also have female formulas there for balancing the hormonal system, and the fenugreek added to those formulas helps enhance the estrogen action. Now, if you have kidney issues other than renal failure, add your fenugreek to your regular juniper cremonis berry, and this will help enhance that. I want you to take note, though, fenugreek is not for pregnant or nursing mothers. So all these formulas and more you'll find at Apothecary Herbs on their website, thepowerherbs.com, or call them for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. The international number is 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219 for international calls. And that, my friends, is where your healthcare options just became endless. We got to take a break, but on the other side, more health news. Don't go anywhere.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about, I think we're going to hit this cervical cancer topic. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody, Apothecary Herbs has extended their annual stock-up special through August, so backing it right up there to, let's see, Labor Day weekend, so it ends the 31st. So you better jump on the gun there and get your herbal products at up to a 30% discount. Selected formulas are on the website. Of course, if you request a catalog, you will receive a list of those products that are on discount right now so you can stock up for the cold and flu season and save some money. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. By the way, that Pure Energy product, that Body Foundation food mix you guys love so much, is included in that special. So and definitely check that out. Alrighty, we're going to talk about cervical cancer. Used to be the leading cause of cancer death for women in the U.S., but right now cervical cancer is the fifth most common cancer among women worldwide. Now, modern medicine says that the decrease in the death rate may be due to the fact that, you know, women are better educated on the disease. And each year, Americans are spending about $2 billion to treat cervical cancer. Now, there is an average of 12,000 women being diagnosed with the disease, and about 4,000 die from it every year. In America, cervical cancer is the eighth most common cancer for women worldwide. There are about 471,000 cases, and there is a woman who dies of this disease about every 2 minutes. So in less developed countries such as Central America, Southern Africa, cervical cancer is the second most common cancer for women with 300,000 deaths a year. So we're going to look at the risks. We're going to look at some truth here. We're going to look at some options. That's what we're going to do. According to Western Journal of Medicine, that publication, the average age that women develop cervical cancer is around 50. Okay? So right around 50 is when, you know, you start getting hounded by your insurance company and your medical doctor, you know, get this study, get that scan, get this, get that. Now, however, women are as young as 17 actually can develop cervical cancer. Now, medicine states that the precancer cells can take 10 to 15 years to develop and flag an early detection for doctors to notice it. So modern medicine claims a 90% cure rate if the disease is caught early enough. Physicians state that the introduction of the Pap smear test in 1941 as an early detection method reduced the number of cervical cancer-related deaths. One can only wonder if the pharmaceutical industry intends to replace the Pap smear with the highly promoted Gardasil vaccine. This vaccine has been advertised to prevent cervical cancer and the spread of the papillomavirus. Now, up to now, the only risk of having a Pap, only risk that you have, according to data, the only risk of having a Pap smear is if the test offers you a false negative result, meaning that you thought you were cancer-free but weren't. But the Gardasil vaccine, on the other hand, offers women more risk. The Judicial Watch investigated why this vaccine was so heavily marketed and Congress was so heavily lobbied to make the vaccine required for all female girls. In 2008, they uncovered some sensitive documentation that was in the possession of the U.S. FDA, which documented Gardasil's dark side. The FDA documented the following deadly side effects of Gardasil: anaphylactic shock. I bet you it's got polysorbate 80 in it. Which one of that? Foaming at the mouth, grand mal convulsions, coma, paralysis, and some death. Investigators are convinced that isn't all that Gardasil delivers. There are now cases being documented where young women in their teens and 20s are experiencing the following side effects immediately after receiving the vaccination: headache, nausea, cramps, dizziness, chills, fatigue, pulmonary arrest, chest pains, acute cardiac arrhythmia, and dying death. And after deadly reactions were evident, the Texas Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the Association of the American Physicians and Surgeons of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine have all publicly advised against mandatory vaccination of the Gardasil or any drug that has little testing as well as no evidence of long-term value. So, woof. Well, let's look at the truth. Although Pap smears appear to help prevent cervical cancer, they are really tools used to compel women to have biopsies or surgery of the cervix before a problem really exists. Medicine would have you believe that the error margin of the Pap smear is insignificant, a mere 10%. What you are not told is there are other variables that influence the reading of the test, such as the quality of the kit itself, how it was prepared for use, was an adequate sample submitted, and was the kit analyzed under optimal or ideal conditions. Women are also not informed that a pap smear in itself can cause enough inflammation to produce a bad pap smear reading the next time she has one done. Gynecologists classify pap smears into categories of 1 to 5. Classification 1 means nothing's wrong. Classification 2 means inflammation, and most women will be put on alert by their doctor at this point. Oh, I see a little inflammation. You can have this kind of inflammation, though, from the following. Intercourse. Using a tampon that contained bleach and fibers that irritated you, or by taking antibiotics that has created a yeast infection. Okay? And a little inflammation caused by those things as well. So do not misunderstand. These are not cancer grades on these pap smears. These are just pap smear classifications. Now, at the mere reading of a class 2 pap smear indicating inflammation, the woman would then be advised to have an unnecessary DNC, which is a dilation and cuterage of the cervix, which in 2009 cost about $6,000, of which most insurance companies pay half. One of my herbal professors felt that pap smears were tools gynecologists use to make their country club payments. Now, because of the prevalence of malpractice lawsuits, physicians tend to go beyond the routine biopsy of taking just a little tissue to do a cone biopsy. And what they do is they take the entire cervix to prevent cancer of the cervix within 5 years of that biopsy to cover their liability. Now, the patient didn't have cancer, but this is just a way doctors have learned to practice medicine to protect themselves against lawsuits. And this means that 99% of the women with class 2 pap smears out there think they have the beginnings of cancer when all they have was a little inflammation. According to the medical textbooks, a class 3 pap smear just means advanced inflammation, no cancer. So when you get to the class 4 and to the class 5, this indicates that there were cancer cells present. So don't freak out if your doctor's saying class 1 through 3. Now, Dr. Mendelsohn, he was a former top doctor in the United States. He said, quote, if you are sick, whatever is going on, don't go to the doctor and don't ever walk into a hospital, end of quote. I have to ask, sometimes, you know, you wonder, are they pitching you a cure or are they pitching you a sales pitch? What can you do if you hear from your doctor that your pap smear came back with a class 4 or 5? What do you do then? Well, you can turn things around yourself without the risk of surgery, post-op infections, and drugs. And first of all, if a woman goes to her gynecologist religiously, she won't have a cervix by the time the pap smear comes back showing cancer. They would have taken it at class 2 and 3, remember? So her doctor would have biopsied the cervix, basically, into oblivion. So these biopsies can also create infection, making a complete hysterectomy necessary. You didn't know the side effect of biopsies? Well, now you do. The cervix is the opening of the uterus. This is an area that dilates when you have a baby. So not having a cervix can significantly impact childbearing, intercourse, and the use of birth control devices. Many women who have actual cancer and even evidence of a tumor that don't want any surgery are offered the option to shrink the tumor with radiation to kill the cancer and then sent off to do holistic treatments. The problem with this is radiation is not localized enough for women, and they're not told this. The radiation beam will have a spread of like a shotgun blast and will damage surrounding tissue. And it is not uncommon for women who have been talked into this type of treatment and the radiation has actually burned holes in the rectum and vagina, creating an opening where fecal matter can no longer be contained. So What happened to the pinpoint localized high-tech laser-guided beam of treatment? Well, let's put it this way. Unfortunately, the patient doesn't survive long enough to do the holistic treatment as a follow-up. Yeah, pretty bad, huh? Well, let's look at the female survival plan. Being a female myself, you know, I make use of God's good herbs, and there are many, many out there made just for us gals. Mm. And herbs like your Mexican wild yam, demania leaf, licorice root, hops flower, viatex berries, dung quai root, all very good for females. Many of the female herbs contain super nutrition for the hormonal system to help balance the system. Heavy menstrual bleeding and severe cramping can be corrected with a lot of the right female herbs and doing some organ cleansing. There are also many natural therapies that you can combine with your herbs, like castor oil packs to an area, and use some herbal dishes and suppositories and even the bowel cleansing to remove impurities and improve circulation. Kind of turn things around in a short time, maybe within 30 days. For women, it is important to keep a clean and healthy bowel to protect that female reproductive system from disease, because that bowel wraps around the uterus, the ovaries, everything, so it touches everything. So you got to keep that bowel healthy. And you don't want it leaking toxins to those surrounding tissues. Now, specialized medicine has us thinking that we are made up of separate body parts that don't really have anything to do with one another, but they do. A sick bowel can press, flatten, squeeze, and prolapse a uterus. Believe it, it can do that. So if you are experiencing some painful periods, it is most likely that the uterus swells once a month and feels the pressure from a congested bowel. And I would do a bowel cleanse twice annually and clean up that diet, and you will avoid that problem. Some herbal suppositories, if you need to use some of those, they are made with herbs and designed to feed malnourished organs and are excellent application to address infection of the reproductive organs. Herb suppositories help draw out toxins and poisons and bacteria and fungus and make the malfunctioning area clean again and healthy. It also reduces inflammation and helps the body to destroy cancer cells. So if you're looking for a list of ingredients or how to make your own herbal suppositories, you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you that guide, and it's real easy to do. And you can find these basic herbs just about anywhere, like golden seal root, yellow dock, whole garlic, marshmallow root, cayenne, tea tree oil, and you can make these suppositories yourself. And what you do is you'll make them according to instructions, and then you'll put them in the refrigerator, kind of get them all nice and firm. And you can insert them and go to bed at night, and then you can use a natural dish in the morning to clean up with. So basically, you have tools. You have information at the touch of your fingers. You can send that request off the powerherbs.com website, or you can give them a call toll-free and say, hey, I need that information on how to make those herbal suppositories, and they'll send that to you free of charge. They also have another handout on cervical cancer and how you can use some natural therapies there and do your homework. It's a nice stepping stone to doing some investigation on your own part. Give them a call toll-free for that information at 866-229-3663. They also have a line of female herbal formulas that you can use to help balance the endocrine system, the female reproductive system. They have formulas for fertility, balancing the female cycle, you know, the menstrual cycle, and, of course, menopause, that maturity area of life where you can have a smooth transition. So you can check that out all there. Plus, they have their organ cleanse packages. So you can clean up the system, have a free flow of toxins out of the body, and cut down your chances of becoming sick significantly. Call them toll-free at 866-229-3663 for a free product catalog. And that's where your health care options just became endless. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Yep. And I don't believe God wanted us to be dependent on a pharmaceutical company to be healthy. He gave us all the tools here. We just got to get smart, get back to basics, and implement them. Yep, that's what we got to do. Well, I got a few minutes, so we're going to be talking about pain and inflammation. We're going to save the herbs and for depression segment for another time because it's quite lengthy. I also have a request off the AVR chat to address how we can deal with creatinine levels, protein in the urine. So we're going to try to address that in the next show or so. All right, let's talk about pain and inflammation. Nobody likes to be in pain. Nobody likes swelling. We spend a lot of money avoiding pain and inflammation. And when we block pain and inflammation in our body, what are we really doing? Well, pain and inflammation are our body's built-in damage control mechanisms, believe it or not. This kind of pain and inflammation is, if you get this kind of assault on the body, it could be from trauma, bacterial infection, viruses, fungus, or even, you know, reaction to external toxins. So reducing pain and inflammation while addressing the cause is one thing, but just blocking it is another. So we're going to look at the difference. Inflammation has a function. So the next time your feet swell up and you can't pull on your shoes, or your arm swells to twice its normal size from a bee sting, just realize this is a normal response. And second, it needs attention. The inflammation and swelling are the body's natural way of containing the damage and beginning the restoration process. Of course, we don't look at it that way. We go, ah, I'm swelling. But, you know, it is part of a restoration process. There is a wide range of inflammation responses that the human body has. It can be minimal. It could be subtle. It could be extremely noticeable. Inflammation is actually an acute phase of system repair. And after the repair is complete, the inflammation response is normally terminated by the body. But if the inflammation response doesn't shut off, you have a problem. And lifestyle changes are going to be required. So if you have chronic inflammation, what could be the cause of that? Well, if you have chronic inflammation response, it is because the body is in a continuous defense mode. For instance, if you have a yeast problem, candida, or a buildup of heavy metals, the body will have a repeatedly a mechanism to fight off this kind of threat, and the process will not go off. This kind of constant battle will overstress and weaken the system over time. So a good analogy is if you were to leave a light bulb on and it eventually just burns out. So you got to address the cause. And what about your immune system regarding inflammation? Well, inflammation is part of the immune system response, but it can become weakened with a condition of constant inflammation. Over time, the inflammation response that is kind of stuck on gives disease pretty much an invitation, a foothold. And it's not just inflammatory type diseases. Some of the kinds of diseases that can occur are your type 2 diabetes, obesity, cancer, heart disease, stroke, fibromyalgia, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus, just because inflammation won't go away. Well, because your body still feels threatened by something. You got to find out what that something is. So the problem with inflammation is you may get another chronic condition right behind it. Aside from the obvious, inflammation exposes us to delays in discovering the cause of the problem. Inflammation basically is a stumbling block for many doctors in offering a proper diagnosis. A lot of patients with inflammatory disease can have very vague or unexplained symptoms. Their lab results are within normal limits, and they're referred from specialist to specialist, and getting a proper diagnosis can take years. Let's look at some of the studies. The American Heart Association and the CDC report that those with chronic inflammation have a higher level of C-reactive protein, or CRP, in their bloodstream. Tests have been developed to detect this protein to see if the proteins are at a higher risk, if you're at a higher risk of heart disease and stroke. So keep in mind that blood tests of CRP aren't going to diagnose the cause of the inflammation. Studies have shown that ginger root can block the inflammation response. And this is no doubt the reason ginger root is included in many topical creams and rubs to reduce inflammation and improve range of motion. So what about viral and bacterial culprits? Well, sometimes chronic inflammation is due to viruses. Some viruses like HIV, Epstein-Barr, hepatitis, herpes can be the problem. The bacteria that can cause peptic ulcers even, or the bacteria responsible for Lyme disease, could be the cause of inflammation. What about heavy metals and mold? Well, modern dental treatments and inoculations that contain mercury contribute to metal toxins. And this, along with food allergies, can create inflammatory responses. Foods like your dairy, corn, soy are commonly found in processed foods and should be avoided just to be on the safe side. And environmental allergens, such as mold, can also trigger more inflammatory responses as well. What about allopathic treatments? What's your doctor going to do for you? Medical community will prescribe an avalanche of drugs, antifungal, antibiotics, over-the-counter, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which will increase your risk of stroke, heart attack, and gastrointestinal bleeding, by the way. They may prescribe chelation therapy, heavy metal IV drips, synthetic enzymes, probiotics. Over 50% of the American population, adults and kids, on some kind of prescribed drug for this. What about a nutritional replacement? Good idea. Replacing the trace minerals, getting more omega fatty 3s, the antioxidants, a lot of organic nutrition. Get rid of the refined salt and sugar and use unrefined salt and sugar. Lots of olive oil, fish, nuts, seeds, going to be real important. Avoid all the processed foods, the convenience foods. Avoid the drive-through like the plague. Avoid the standard American diet and go back to the basics. And omega-3 fatty acids going to be your secret weapon, by the way. They have a hormone-like substance, prostaglandins and leukotrienes, which will break down into enzymes and help the body with inflammation. So check that out. And don't forget your circulatory herbs, ginger root and cayenne pepper. They will help restore circulation to an area to bring in nutrition, take away toxins so inflammation can cease and desist. So it's going to be a nutritional attack, and it's going to be consistent, and it's going to be permanent, and you're going to be so much better for it. Basically, God's herbs never lose. They are so potent that even pharmaceuticals can't duplicate them. So check that out. See what you have in your medicine cabinet there. It's called your pantry, your refrigerator. You may have the answers right there. Yes. I'm out of time, folks, but give the calls, the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and get a free product catalog. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663. Hey, I got to go, but next up, Covenor's Call with Pastor Mike Hoover, so stay where you are. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before you use any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.